Among the participants at the Synod of Bishops on the New Evangelization was Bishop Matthew Hassan Kuka of Sokoto in northern Nigeria. The nation is Africa's largest oil producer, but is blighted by huge poverty, widespread corruption, and recurring ethnic and sectarian violence. He spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges.
Well, I've actually always believed that, first of all, like St. Paul said, our salvation is something we should be working for in fear and trembling. And that really, seeking the face of God is an ongoing experience. I worry, for example, that in the West, where we say religion is more or less not being actively practiced, I see the fruits of religion, let me put it that way, that is a certain level of human conduct, the way society is run, the respect that people have for human rights, the value they have for life, and so on and so forth. And I contrast that very sharply with the environment where I come from, Nigeria and most parts of Africa and the developing world, where the churches are full, the mosques are full, and we are visibly, really, really proudly religious. But there's very serious deficit that we encounter. The levels of armed robbery, the lack of respect for human rights, the diminution of human life and the value of human life, the endless cycle of violence around places of worship perpetrated by quote-unquote believers and so on and so forth. So for me, and the corruption. So for me, these are really sharp contrasts, and they raise some really profound questions about what we consider to be faith, what the challenges are. You know, so for me, these are some of the problems that I think I will take home and continue to wrestle with.
As you said, you come from a diocese that's in a predominantly Muslim area. And as we have seen, many parts of northern Nigeria have been the scene of attacks by the radical Islamic group Boko Haram. How worried is the Christian community by these attacks, by this group?
I don't deliberately play down, but I like to insist that, you know, that I'm living in Nigeria with other Nigerians. So I don't spend my time thinking of the fact that I'm living with Muslims. You know, I'm living with Nigerians as citizens of a country. And I like that emphasis to be made, precisely because we have, the Western media has not, and even the local media in Nigeria has not helped us believers by focusing too much on our identities as Muslims and Christians. And those two identities are just one out of many other identities that people have. But to come back to the point, the problem with Boko Haram is not a problem between Christians and Muslims, despite the fact that the easy part is to say churches have been attacked and so on and so forth. But perhaps it is also important to note, you know, that we have had the same experiences within the Muslim communities in Nigeria, and that what we are dealing with is the need to appreciate the fact that every Nigerian citizen, by just living in Nigeria, is a potential victim. And I think that is very worrying. And I think that, I mean, once we take that position, then it becomes slightly easier for us to deal with the question of holding the state and the government of Nigeria squarely and fully responsible for doing the very basic things that governments are set out to do, namely to protect the lives and properties of ordinary citizens. And I think this, for me, this is really what the issues are, not a conflict between Christians and Muslims, because that is really not what Nigeria is faced with, despite the fact that it has become very popular. But it is seriously misleading, and it distorts the facts and doesn't present the problems that we have in the proper manner.
Talking of the government, the military has launched a crackdown against Boko Haram, and this has been, it's been criticized by many as very heavy-handed and not really tackling, let's say, the roots of the problem. Would you agree?
Well, not the military. The president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria has to call out the military. And I have argued severally that theoretically, that is really not the right thing to do, because we're in a democracy. And my argument has been that the issues that Nigeria is dealing with are issues that politics ought to be able to resolve. And because this is what political engineering is all about. How do you manage and negotiate consensus? I mean, the problems of the IRA had to be finally negotiated. Every problem, every form of crisis anywhere in the world. And I worry that the Nigerian political class has hidden its incompetence by simply presenting the problem as a law and order issue. It is not. So sending the soldiers out in a democracy, my argument is that theoretically it diminishes your capacity to win the trust of ordinary citizens. So what I see in the response of the federal government of Nigeria by falling back on soldiers is that the government is actually hiding its incompetence. The government is using proxy institutions to deal with issues that are purely and simply and squarely issues of politics and negotiating consensus. Because the issues that Boko Haram is talking about are issues that other Nigerians, including myself, have talked about. How do you continue to run a country with such monumental corruption as an institution, with clear and blatant misuse and application of state resources? I mean, you don't need Boko Haram to confront this problem. And my argument is that even if you brought all the soldiers of the world, you know, you don't kill an idea. The only alternative to dealing with the problems of Boko Haram is for the Nigerian political class to squarely deal with the issues of governance, namely to reduce very seriously the high cost of government, the incentives that have made access to government so attractive and by extension so violent. What has happened in Nigeria over the last few years is that younger people have become very aware of the fact that politics in Nigeria is almost like armed banditry. And because the price is so high, and because the climate of impunity has become so dominant, these are the issues that you need to deal with. And they're not issues that guns can deal with. Because what is also even happening as a flip side of that is that the security agencies are now getting a piece of the action. And they're literally becoming like an alternative state. If you go back, if you listen to what is happening in Maiduguri and other places, in most of Borno State and in some of the areas, ordinary citizens are saying, we actually are suffering more from the military than from Boko Haram. They become like an army of occupation. Now, you always, anywhere, you need the confidence of citizens to be able to operate. So for me, the continuous stay of the military on the streets of Nigeria, one, diminishes democracy, but also it makes it increasingly difficult, you know, for us to deal with the issues of Boko Haram.
But is there a feeling among northern Nigerians that too much power is concentrated in the south? There is a real grievance there, isn't there?
No, I don't think that is. I don't think that is true. First of all, you just have a bunch of thieves across the Niger in different directions. So the real issue is when the thieves in the north feel they're not getting a piece of the action, people then make the case that there is concentration of power in the south. But the power that has been in the south, you know, we've had, I think, 9 or so heads of state in Nigeria. Almost all of them have come from northern Nigeria. For almost 20-something years, Nigeria was governed by a bunch of northerners and Muslims. So that's not the issue. The corruption did not diminish. It didn't start yesterday. And in fairness to Goodluck Jonathan, the poor man has only been president for barely 1 year. He's supposed to be president for 4 years. So I think that the whole argument that there's concentration of power in the south, so what? There's concentration of power, of resources in the whole of Nigeria. So the question is, the political elite in Nigeria cannot cover its irresponsibility by holding somebody else responsible, because clearly what politics has become in Nigeria is that the question we are morally asking is, how is it that the state has become merely a distribution agency, and that the basic things that ordinary people elsewhere in the world have come to take for granted, access to health, running water, light, jobs, these very basic things the rest of the world, including many parts of Africa, have come to take for granted, they're not available in Nigeria. If they persist, it will be Boko Haram today, it will be somebody else tomorrow.
Do you agree with those who say that Nigeria's tragedy, you know, given its huge oil wealth and everything and the potential it has, is that it's not been blessed with good governance?
Well, a lot of the issues also, there are certain historical realities. It's not enough to have the resources. It's not even enough to be in government. In many parts of Africa, you have people who are in office, but they're not in power. In part because the oil business is run by multinational corporations. I just finished a 7-year negotiation between Shell and the Ogoni people to end the irresponsibility of Shell in Nigeria over a particular period of time. This is the story. Democratic Republic of Congo should be one of the richest countries in the world. So it's not enough, even when we talk about corruption. It's also important for the international community to appreciate that multinational corporations, international businessmen are also committing serious crimes as far as issues of governance are concerned in many parts of Africa. I'm not making an excuse, but I'm just making the point that good governance is not just a blessing. It's something you have to work on. And I think that the other problem with Nigeria is that we've been independent for 52 years. But out of those 52 years, the military has been in power for over 30 years. And during the period of the military, people learned a lot of bad things, including good people who behaved terribly badly. Now, getting people's sense of confidence back in processes, in the discipline of democracy, is going to take time. Because under the military, there were no institutions. I mean, every institution was severely compromised, the judiciary, the various ministries, the civil service. The problem is that now Nigeria is beginning to feel its way, but it's going to take a long time. You still have that mindset, and it's going to take us, I think, a while to wean ourselves through that process, and then for ordinary citizens to become a bit more confident again in the process. The issues are not about good luck, Jonathan. It's about us having the discipline to roll our sleeves, do the good work, and appreciate the fact that all of us have to become honest and transparent.